Okay, now we're good to go, I guess. We're in Acts chapter 2 once again, and we've had several lessons over the course of several months in Acts chapter 2, and there's all familiar with the book of Acts and how things are, and that it's titled the Acts of the Apostles. Indeed, it's a wonderful book about God's people preaching God's word, and as always in all of the scriptures, the reactions that from the two groups of types of people around the world, those that are God's, that eventually in His time will give a new life, and that the preaching of the gospel is to them a joyous thing and a wonderful thing, and to others that as we'll see today are mocking or worse about the preaching of the word. And this part of it, we're going to be in Acts, and we're going to read parts of chapter 2, verses 14 to 36. And I've kind of titled this The View at Pentecost. And remember that it started out in chapter 2 that there were those that were gathered together, and the Spirit came on those men that were the 11 that were there, and they spoke in various languages as the Spirit gave them utterance to people there, and they were hearing and amazed. The one group that was amazed, they were hearing the wonderful works of God in their own language, not just a noise to them. And there were those that were mocking, as we'll see, and said, these guys are drunk. That's the reaction that the natural man has to the preaching of the word, is it's confusing, or it just makes no sense. And they might as well have been speaking in a language they didn't understand, because in spiritual sense they did not. But we're gonna look at this. It takes place after they just heard the wonderful works of God, as it says. And I'd like to read starting in verse 11, and just a couple of words, and it's after a list of all the languages that they were speaking in of chapter 2, verse 11. It says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. There were those that were amazed. They were hearing, and they would naturally say, this is not the normal gathering that we would have of these people, and we hear the wonderful works, and others mocking said, and that in Luke where Mike has been, the two groups are shown out. The ones that on the one hand, their reaction and what they are like. And Christ spoke to that, and then He says, but you, speaking to the sheep, there's a difference here. They're not the same. And the reaction outwardly is as we see here. Now, others mocking, and that's kind of a concise view of what we'll see on in the book of Acts and other places. They do a lot more than just mock. They're in the reaction from everything from this type of thing to stoning Stephen, and the reaction that natural man has to the preaching of the word and what it does. And verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. And we're gonna look at that, and we're headed towards Peter's sermon, but I told Mike there's probably a half an hour parenthesis here we're going to have between that. But Peter, and standing up in that, and his sermon will begin. But note that in 12 and 13, as we said, verses 12 and 13 here, two very different effects and results upon the minds of these two groups of people. When the gospel is proclaimed, it is even and ever the same. One group of men were struck amazed at having and hearing the wonderful works of God in their midst, in their own language. Both groups heard the same physical words, and yet one praised God and the others mocked the words spoken. The great working of God to enable men to speak in any language and many languages fluently of our God turned to scorn in them. And this, in this particular instance, that's not the only instance of this. And also, as we know, that's always been the case when the word of God's been declared. That's the two reactions to it, and the same divided results happen. It just is. There's no middle ground, I guess, as it were, in a sense, because if it's not God's word, and as we hear it, if you're neutral, you're not for it. If you're neutral, there's no I'm equally down the middle, and the same thing. The preaching brings the message to those who rejoice and praise God, and to those who doubt, mock or scorn. The only difference between the joyous and the mockers here at Pentecost is the grace of the Almighty to His own, and God's people, until He opens their eyes, and as we'll see later what the God's working in His people, they have the same reaction. Look at Paul had. He not only scorned about it, but he was in the bad camp as far as the believers of that they were involved in thought. And Paul said he was doing God quite the service to take care of these Christian heretics, you know. And so we know that there's no difference outwardly, and even in our mind, no difference outwardly until God reveals Himself to His people. That's all that can affect a change in men is the sheep of God may scorn the gospel, and they will for many years, maybe, and like the thief on the cross, until the right at the last moments. But the day will come to the sheep, all of them, when the Spirit will cause them to hear the, as those said, the wonderful works of God in the gospel. And before we get to Peter's message, we're going to look at a few passages that speak to these things. Peter's sermon, he says these things, and it's a pretty neat. The rest of the chapter is pretty neat. He goes in and talks about what Joel said, and he's going to say this isn't this, but this is the coming about what Joel said would take place, and that's, we'll get to that part. But first, I'd like to look at Acts chapter 7. We're going to read look at a couple of passages that speak to these things that they were seeing there. Those that saw the wonderful works of God and were really amazed about it, and those that just mocked and meant nothing to them. In Acts chapter 7, down towards the end of the chapter, starting with verse 51. And these were here that Stephen was speaking to, and this is definitely, he got a reaction. It says in verse 51, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your father did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And so this reaction they had, and as he says to them here, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." And it said the prophets that showed before of the coming of the just one that they have now betrayed and murders. They did not want to hear those things, because Stephen's message is pretty good message, and it goes the history of all the past many years and things, and what God had done, and how many of Israel, their reaction to that, no different than what it's coming down to here. They, as he says, you guys killed the prophets, and they were telling you of the Holy One that was coming, the only hope that we have, and that's your reaction to it. And as you said, the natural man, that's about the best you can come up with. In 1 Corinthians, turn over to 1 Corinthians in the first chapter. And we spent some time ago now in 1 Corinthians in the first chapter, speaking of the many wonderful promises and things that the gospel speaks to God's people. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And indeed here, saying the same thing, that not foolish preaching, but foolishness to natural man is what preaching is. And by that, but God's people see that, the gospel, and Christ as the power of God, power of salvation to his people. It's not, the cross is not foolishness to God's people, it is foolishness to those, it says, that perish. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Those wonderful works of God, those people were hearing in their own tongues, I dare say weren't feeding the 5,000 of those type of things. They weren't physical wonders that we're seeing, but it was the gospel that there is redemption, sanctification, wisdom, and redemption in the Lord for His people. And that was good news to those that recognized it as good news. And there were others that it was foolishness to them. At best it says a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. In Romans chapter 1, and these are all things that God's people have been down that same road. They've been from, whether it was scorning or whatever terms we want to look at, what the gospel meant to us before the Lord gave us a heart of flesh, it was the same type of thing. We may not have been the worst people outwardly, as far as persecuting people or killing them or that type of thing, but the reaction to the word and the disregard for that was no different. By God's grace, we did not and have not maybe done as bad of things as we could have. But the same, the results the same. Without God's power working in us, we would have the same thoughts of it. In 1 Thessalonians. My fingers will work. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, starting with verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak to anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And as he said here, that preaching the word came to those people with power, and there was a change in those people, and they indeed were the gospel came in the Holy Ghost, it says, in much assurance of the honest preaching of the word to them. And then down here in verse 9 and 10, this is common to all of God's people. This is the same result. And same results and same things that show forth for all of God's people. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had into you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And that's the result of it. It's not a turning from one religion to another in a mental assent to these things. These were people that just heard this and thought that sounded like a good deal. As it said before, this was the doing of the Holy Spirit that caused this. There are many men, I'm sure, that turn from one type of religion to another and think they found the good deal, and they go along with those things. Many of us have sat in church maybe in the right and good churches for some time, maybe before the word was used in us by the Spirit and been anything, And yet we agreed to it, but that's not the same thing as it says here, waiting from Him from heaven, especially with the assurance of the Spirit. And it's not just another good thing we do and makes us feel right and makes us feel good, but it's the doing of the Spirit that makes the difference. And without that, we may be good people sitting in a good place, but we're not. That's not the same as God delivering us and turning from God to serve the, turning to God, serving the true and living God from idols, whatever those idols may be. And that's one of the true differences. The Spirit of God indwelling is all the difference. Those of God who are in the eternal, everlasting covenant will be born of the Spirit at God's time and bidding. Maybe like the thief on the cross, it may be down a long road and at the very end, or it may be anywhere along the way. But God's sheep and God's people that are in the everlasting covenant will be born of the Spirit. They must be. They have to be. Or God is not who He says He is. And He says, they are mine, they're going to be mine, and they're going to be taken care of. In Ezekiel, we like Ezekiel. We like a lot of places. But Ezekiel has, if you look in Ezekiel, several places, and underline just the words, I will, that God is speaking about with you. There's a whole lot of them that God will do to, God does to His people and in His people. And in Ezekiel 36, start with verse 24, and that's not where this starts of God working in His people, but this is where we're going to read today. Verse 24 and on a bit, it says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And that portion right there is common to God's people. All of God's people. Must happen. This is speaking also in a national sense to some of those at this time. But all of those, we know that all of those that He brought in and brought finally to the promised land, how many died off in the wilderness because of unbelief? And many of them, and also the ones that He was speaking to in a physical, purely physical sense of doing what He said He'd do physically, all those, the people that maybe gained from some of that, all their hearts weren't changed. A lot of them came in, and as Paul says, all of Israel is not Israel. National Israel is made up of sheep and goats, and they may all go by the same name, but it was ever that way. It is now, and it was in this day. But these promises here in the spiritual promises are what God does in His people, and that is the fact of the matter. If God does not do these things, and it says, I will, this is the Lord God saith this, it says, if He does not do this, it's not going to get done. The heart can't take out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. You can, and how many people wish we could do that? Man can't do it. You can honestly bring what the Scripture says and teach and preach that and read what the Scripture says, and that's where we have to leave it. We have to leave it and commend it to God to do His work. And like I said, in His sheep, the day will come in His sheep, and the time that at God's timing and His bidding, then as Lazarus when God calls his people. That's a wonderful picture of calling all of his people from the spiritual dead into spiritual life, is at Lazarus. And he wasn't mostly dead. He wasn't just resting. He was dead, and the Lord called him forth, and he came forth. And that tremendous physical miracle done there, but as Norm and others have said and we've seen, that's just a shadow of the reality of the miracle of spiritual life given to people. And the miracle that it takes, the power that it takes to change the nature of who God's people are into hearts of flesh and not hearts of stone. And that's ever the case of the preaching and bringing forth of the gospel. Is we can, as it says, you read it and you make the sense of it, and you explain the meaning or the reading of the words, but that's as deep as we can go, and we can relate to what Scripture says about Scripture, and God has to be the one that does the work, and we can't do that work. That's God's what His working is by His Spirit is doing that. Now to verse 14 in Acts chapter 2. Let me go the right way. We're not going to read all this, but I'm going to read parts of this that says here, the beginning of Peter's sermon, the day of Pentecost, verse 14 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And here where it says, "These are not drunken, as you suppose, being it's the third hour of the day," or that would have been 9 o'clock in the morning. At that time, that was the time of the prayer and in the morning there. And at that time, it wasn't lawful for them to eat or drink things until that was accomplished. So, in a religious sense, these guys couldn't have been drunk because it was not. Not it was at 9 o'clock in the morning, but it was not something that they would have been, as Jews, been doing at that time. And it points out again to how those men that said that perceived what was being said. They, I'm sure, heard in their language words just like the rest of them did. I don't think they heard gibberish, but in a spiritual sense, they did not. It made no sense to them. The preaching of the gospel, in just because it's in your language, that in itself doesn't get any farther than the ears. And that's in, there's people that I know that I acquaint myself with that the gospel is, you know, they might as well say you're drunk, you know, if you mention anything like that. They don't only not want to hear it, it makes no sense to them. And naturally speaking, they can understand the words of it. They might have a philosophical, yeah, that's good for you to do, or that's good, you know, makes good people and stuff. But other than that, they have no sense of it. And it's an honest, I guess, assessment of what they were hearing by how they understood. And it was, they knew they weren't drunk in that sense because, like I said, they were speaking in those languages that they all understood the words of it. But that's as far as they it meant nothing, and they were as good as drunk. And he says, this that they saw, the Spirit working in those men and speaking in those languages that they understood, it said, this is which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And so the prophet Joel, Joel brings the word of God to the people with lamenting the condition of things. A lot of the prophets, they lamented the condition of things. And Joel laments the condition of a lot of things in the natural sense that they had going on there. Calling to repentance and turning to the Lord. He tells of coming day of the Lord. Therefore also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. God will deliver all his own. That's what Joel was saying. We're going to look at a part of that in specific, but as it says, with all your heart, turn unto you with all your heart, and rend your heart and not your garments. That was what was needed. It was rending the garments didn't, in that sense, didn't meant nothing and didn't do anything. But in Joel, just before Amos, isn't it? Joel, turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel starts off with saying all things are in ruin. Things are not in good shape. And in chapter 2, starting with verse 28, just a part of this. That was verse 13 up there where he says, verse 13 of chapter 2, I'm going to read that. It says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord. But in chapter 2, verse 28, piece I'd like to read, it says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant of whom the Lord shall call. And a couple, some key things in here that are said through here, that things that these things would happen would be by the pouring out of my spirit, it says. My spirit poured out on these things. And then it says down here in the end, and not to minimize the rest of the words here, but it says that, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant of whom the Lord shall call. And the key there, the remnant who the Lord shall call. And those that shall call in the name of the Lord, it is by the doing of his Spirit that recognizes that there's anything to call on the Lord for. And the gospel is only wonderful to those that have an issue, that have a problem, that see what their righteousness is compared to that robe of righteousness that God places on his people. And the Spirit's only thing that can open the eyes to those things. Otherwise, we're doing pretty good if I don't steal from the neighbor and, you know, those type of things. Otherwise, I'm pretty, don't look too bad, I'm pretty clean. And he told them, you clean the outside of the plate, but the inside, if it looks pretty nasty. And the tombs, They're all white and clean and looking like that. But he said, look what's in them, dead men's bones. And boy, that was a direct picture of them, not just how they were doing housekeeping in the cemetery. They look good and full of dead inside. And that in religion, that's all that we can boast on is dead inside and maybe look pretty good outside. But those things are that, and these are come to pass, that the remnant is going to be called. But Peter says, this is what Joel's talking about. Spirit of God caused this to take place. The Spirit of God is that which made that those things that were being said to some, the wonderful works of God. There's hope. He's got, there's grace and mercy with the Lord, and that is only by God's Spirit and God's Holy Spirit working. And they indeed were seeing that in the midst of them, and it says here that the Holy Ghost sat on them and as it were tongues of fire. And I think that was probably in a physical sense there was a sign of showing that to those that may not had any other understanding. They were those that saw the wonderful works of God understood that what was going on by His Spirit opened their eyes, and the others it just was noise and drunk guys making no sense at all. Man's reaction to the gospel does not alter the truth or working of God's Holy Spirit in the heart of his own. Natural man can only react as his nature allows until and but God. That's all. And down through here in Acts chapter 2, go back to Acts chapter 2 for just a couple of minutes. And then verse 20 down to 17 through 21, or that section that we read in Joel. And then in verse 22 of Acts chapter 2, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also did my flesh rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And summing up of the gospel there to them after the things. But that's what he talks and says, what David had to say and what Joel just said. This is what was being talked about, that he was speaking about this beforehand, and what David was speaking beforehand of the Lord himself, and that he is now made that same Jesus, both whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. If this be true, you guys are not in a very good spot. And then we know what happened, that they didn't like what was being said a whole lot, but it said that when they, verse 37, and this, we're going to close with this particular verse. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on and speaks, and we're going to look at that next week some. But here the title here of the view at Pentecost, what men saw at Pentecost from both hands, as it were. And the blessed thing to God's people is that we didn't all left in that same spot with mocking. We may have been in that spot until God changed us and revealed himself to us. But the blessed thing is God has a remnant, and he is about the business through the gospel of delivering his people. And that's the good news to his people. It means nothing to those until God reveals that to them. But thank God he does have a people, and he does reveal himself to us. And that was a pretty neat spot there in Acts about the speaking and to the people, and those that saw it as a wonderful thing. And thank you for being with us this morning. And as Mike says, be free. I pushed the stop button. Does that mean it stopped? Probably.